Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, which is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante, sitting in with Andy Shea and Bob Flounders. Ross is out this week. He'll be back next week, so don't worry. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, Jimmy, good. Weather's nicer. Hopefully, we're getting closer to the start of some Penn State football. We'll just have to see how things play out.
Remember, in honor of Ross, Jim, nobody cares how...
Oh,
nobody cares.
Not the same when you say.
Nobody
right.
cares how about us. Nobody cares how we are. I'm just putting a little Ross out there for us right out of the get go.
It's a nice gesture on Jim's part,
but it's very nice.
Just in case there is anyone out there who cares, friends and family, we are more than arm's reach apart here in the studio.
Right.
So all is good. We have an hour of Penn State football to talk about. We're going to start, of course, in quarter number one, doing some news and notes. Quarter number two, since Ross is out, instead of Tucker's Tape, we're going to be doing something a little different. I'm calling it Take a Stand. I'm going to be giving you guys a statement on the Penn State football team.
Good.
And it's up to you to take a stand one way or another.
Beautiful.
No wishy-washy answers. I'm looking at you, Andy.
I have no wishy-washy answers.
I was pointing at Andy, just so you guys
I'm not going to be wishy-washy.
Which makes for great radio. All right. Quarter number three, you get your questions are going to be answered by Andy and Bob. And finally, in quarter number four, we will continue Bob's top 25 Penn State player countdown.
We're down to nine.
You say that, of course, just to let me know where our starting point is, so I won't mess up again like last week. All right. Let's get into the news, guys. I think the big news is Pro Day at Penn State is coming up. It's scheduled for next week.
St. Paddy's Day.
Yes, exactly.
So there goes my St. Paddy's Day, but it's okay. It's a Tuesday. How much trouble do I really want to get in on a Tuesday anyway?
And it's in the morning. I'm just saying, yeah. Pro Day's in the morning, not in the evening.
Which is good for everyone. Uh-huh. So you're just saying Bobby Flo has his evening available. Here's the quick list. Nick yep. Bowers, Cam Brown, Weston Carr, Dan Chisna, Blake Gillikin, Steve Gonzalez, Ito Gross-Matos, KJ Hamler, Jan Johnson, John Reed, Garrett Taylor, Robert Windsor. Who's going to be the Pro Day star? There always is one,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, KJ Hamler, if he runs, and he runs at 100%, I think can put up – I mean, I think he's in the Penn State books at 4.27, and I'm sure he's – I still can't believe Drew Hartlieb's the fastest guy of the Franklin era at 4.25. Really speaks to – I need to watch punt coverage a little bit more, but he is the fastest Lion as we talk about this. I think obviously KJ Hamler running a big number would be something I think that he would be eager to share with us, and the Penn State fan base would get excited about. Ito Gross-Matos, who I just talked to recently over the phone, he didn't run at the combine. He's 6'5", 268 now. He said last year he played at 261. But he said he had a hamstring issue. He hasn't run yet. He wants to run. I think he ran in the high 4.6s. That was his best at Penn State. But I would say this, guys. I think that a couple of players that could really help themselves, I think, at Pro Day, in my mind, one would be Jan Johnson if he can test well. Dwight Galt said he's a much better athlete than people realize when you look at all the things he can do. And also, I think teams might be a little interested about Nick Bowers just because of his size. I know he's been... You know, he was finally kind of healthy for a whole year, but there were some physical issues that really slowed him down, slowed his development. And he's got the kind of body, and he can do some things that the NFL is looking for. I think he's a guy that I think the NFL is going to be taking a little bit of a long look at.
Nick Bowers was the guy at the top of my list. I think Jan Johnson's a football player that can find a spot in the NFL in some way, shape, or form. There's
sure.
Not in that top 30, 35 guys on a roster, but in that last 17 to 18 to 20 guys
on a roster, on a practice squad. Some of the guys, Stupar. Right. Stupar made it. Mike Hall, not Mike Hall, Mike Hall, Mike Who was the linebacker number 43 that was drafted by the Rams?
Hull?
No, not Mike
Hull.
No, Mike Hull was the guy that was the wrestler from Western PA. We'll come back to him. There's somebody I'm blanking on.
So these aren't candidate. My point was going to be these aren't draft candidates, right? Nick Bowers and Jan Johnson are not.
Yeah.
They're not guys to be draft candidates. So right. They are trying to. They use these workouts to show their value as an NFL player, which is kind of tricky because this is just a workout, right? It's not football related, but still. The one of the big measuring sticks to even get you in the door is how you test at these things. It matters to the NFL teams to get you in the door. Right. It's a prerequisite. And I think both of them are intriguing. I think Bowers, for so many reasons, because his film is so limited because of the injuries through his Penn State career, that his ceiling is higher. There's more film on Jan Johnson. So it feels like, to me, it's Nick Bowers has a greater opportunity. Jan Johnson has some work to do.
I have a name to throw out at you. How about Dan Chisna? Wasn't he the track guy? And has pretty good size.
I said during the season, the guy that he reminded me of was Ethan Kilmer, who played on the 05 team that was a speedy, big wideout who was really good on Penn State's special teams as a gunner. Yep. I believe he actually got drafted by the Bengals late in the draft. I think he played a couple years.
Yeah, as a running back, I thought.
It might have been as a running back, but he primarily as a special teams
guy.
I think Dan Chisna absolutely. I mean, I would actually bet on him making a roster because he can be a fifth wideout, be content being a fifth wideout. There's upside there. He can run. He's got size. And he absolutely will help any NFL team special teams.
I was going to say, refresh my memory, wasn't he kind of a special team star during the season?
He was. He was one of the top. It was him and Drew Hartlob. I think they were the top gunners on punt coverage. And I know that he played on kickoff coverage, I believe.
I'm looking at the pro day list, I see 5/6 Penn State players on NFL rosters. We can talk about that more after Pro Day and after you get a better look at it leading up to the draft, but I think there's 5 or 6 players on that list that are going to be, that will make NFL rosters.
All right, well, we'll report next week on how they made out. Let's move on a little bit. Another little item we had was Nick Dawkins was named Mr. PA Lineman. I'm not sure that in and of itself has a whole lot of meaning, but you combine that with his early entry and Dwight Gault seemed to be highly complimentary of him. That's a pretty good combination for this kid.
Can't have enough linemen, first of all. Can never have enough linemen. I know he's enrolled early. We hope he redshirts, right?
I don't think there's much depth.
Yeah, there's plenty of depth there. You hope he redshirts because he's got some dudes to learn from, and they've got a new offensive line coach, and that's one of his first sort of pieces of clay to mold is that guy. So you hope he gets that 18 months that he needs without us talking about him a lot, but he's extremely talented, and he's got a bright future, but he needs 18 months to get himself ready, and Penn State set themselves up to give it to him, and let's hope it plays out.
Well, just look at a guy like Des Holmes. He didn't really come into his own until last year. So, and I think that was his red shirt sophomore year.
Yep.
So I think Nick Dawkins is a guy where they're looking at him, they're looking at the fact that the bloodline's pretty good with Daryl and Chocolate Thunder, and maybe year three they might hit on a really good player.
And if you're a basketball fan, if you remember Daryl Dawkins, he wasn't just this big guy. He was actually he could play, and he had a lot of athletic ability in him for a guy that size. So the genes are good, and a good place to start with is to have a dad like Daryl Dawkins with those genes. All right. Next up, everyone's coming out with their mock drafts. A recent one I saw, NFL.com, had Ytor Gross-Matos going number 28 to the Ravens, and even noted that they thought he'd be a good fit in their 3-4 defense.
Well, I mean, he's so versatile and so athletic. I mean, I think he could play, he could add size and be a base defensive end. He could play up almost as an outside linebacker. I know that sounds a little bit crazy.
No, it doesn't.
I still think he's a 4-3, but I wouldn't. I mean, what Penn State asked him to do, they moved him around so much. He feels like he can play a lot of different positions, and this is a young athlete who I think is, you know, he's nimble and he's also powerful. He's got good feet, so I just think that anymore you want to get a good player. And if your scheme doesn't quite fit the good player, then you change your scheme a little bit.
You change your scheme.
For a guy like him, I think that's what you do.
Yeah, I think he could go higher. I like him in a team that's a base 4-3, right? I mean, you could fit and move your 3-4 around, but I like him because he could be inside, and I think he could play both defensive end positions. You know what I mean? I don't think he's not a one-trick pony, and he's also proven there's a value proposition in a 4-3 set to moving him inside a little bit and getting him inside
I don't think he's done growing. I mean, he's young, and he's gonna put on even some more weight. He looks, when I watched him at Penn State and you talked to him after the games, it wasn't that he looked thin, but you could look at him and say, that guy could easily put 20 pounds on, and you know, he would look like he's probably 270 pounds. So yeah, I think he's a first round pick because he's talented, and also because other than Chase Young, there's not a lot of really pure
versatile type players
that
are
disruptive and have the production on the college level that Yetur does.
So that late first round pick seems about right.
I think so. I think teams will always gamble or trade up and gamble on a pass rusher. I mean, he could slide to the second round. If he goes in the second round, somebody got a heck of a steal. Also, I was just, so the Penn State fans know, I was talking about Josh Hull. I forgot. I got him confused with Mike Hull, but he also made a roster as a linebacker. And I think Jan Johnson's every bit the player that Josh was.
Yeah, he's on my list of the five or six that I think will be on an NFL roster come August.
Before we close out, the other one in that mock draft was KJ Hamler, pick number 54 to the Bills in the second round. About where you think?
Yeah, I mean, a first round. I mean, his pro day time could change everything. But he's an undersized receiver who can fly. He's disruptive, but he's also just not the biggest. DeSean Jackson went in the second round. That's where these guys go. They're home run hitters, but they're not really guys you're going to try and throw the ball to 10 times a game. You're going to try and get it to them 2 or 3 times a game because, you know, if they take one good shot, they might be out for a while.
He's a specific role at the NFL level. You have to look at the value proposition of drafting a guy like him at that size. And is it a good value?
And there are a boatload of good wide receivers coming out this year. All right, that's it for quarter number one from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick around for quarter number two.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.